Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Michelle Rumpel with the Bookings and Local Network. Think locally and connect locally. Catherine Johns here with me. Well, we had just a little bit of a technical difficulty there, but, you know,
Imagine that's
kind of the way that things go sometimes. So, anyway, Michelle Rumpel, and I'm here with my side chick, Catherine Johns. And I'm always very thrilled to have Catherine Johns in, on here with me, and I've learned so much from her already. Yes, absolutely.
And we have more shows to go.
And we have more shows to go, so it's been just a fabulous experience having her with me today. And Catherine, you, you know, you've mentioned a couple of times that you've got a workshop coming up. Tell everybody about it.
I do have a workshop coming up on September 12th, and you can sign up at CatherineJohns.eventbrite.com and learn how to have a more magnetic presence. And why do you want a magnetic presence? So you can make a good impression and get more business.
Make more money.
Pretty much.
A
really good example is somebody who has to build their business face-to-face. They go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting or maybe a women's group or one of your networking events that LLN sponsors. And they don't walk away with a bunch of contacts and a bunch of clients because they're not making the kind of impression they need to make. I can help.
You can help. And that sounds fabulous. I think there's so many of us that really can, especially women, I think, a lot of times...
Don't get me started.
Right, you know.
Can I just say that especially women, and who is interested in this? Men. The people, I set up a workshop for women, and the people who want in are, overwhelmingly, they're men.
Wow.
And I've been turning them away, and I'm going to stop and just say, what the hell, I'm doing a workshop for guys.
Hey, man.
So... And then talk to me. And you can find me, of course, on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever.
You know, and I just wanted to mention something, too. Something that we talked about a while ago was that women often kind of damage their first impression because they apologize. We tend to apologize for things, you know, the office or our appearance or something like that.
The weather.
Isn't that true? Yeah.
Yeah, the climate, the time, the city, the traffic. Seriously, you're right.
Yeah.
And getting over that, apologizing for our own existence, is huge.
Yeah, and that is definitely not magnetic.
It is not magnetic, and that's one of the things I work on with my clients.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Well, that's going to be a great workshop, so sign up, CatherineJohns.eventbrite.com. And also wanted to mention that on Tuesday, September 4th, we will be having our Caffeinated Connections Networking event, and that will be at 7:30 a.m. and it'll be
it better be caffeinated.
It better be caffeinated. It'll be at 7:30 a.m. at Schaumburg Bank and Trust, of course, in Schaumburg. And there will be coffee because it is caffeinated, and there will be an author speaker, and there will be most likely coffee, cake, or other things to eat. So it should be a great time. We usually have about 30 people who show up, business owners and leaders mostly. So that's the type of people you want to network with? Come on by.
Jeanette Hurt, the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Wine and Food Pairing, will be our guest author.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
All right. Oh, okay. Wine and food.
Yeah.
Caffeine at 7:30 in the morning.
Okay. And caffeine, that's right. Wine, food, and caffeine. And that was Fred McMurray, our producer, chiming in. Thank you very much, Fred. So, Catherine. We have a really awesome guest today talking about something that I think a lot of people don't really think about, right?
Yeah.
And our guest is Marianne Markowitz, and let me just tell you a little bit about her. She's the managing director of A Service Leader, and this is a management consultancy that helps companies improve their customers' experience, also called shorthand CX, right?
Yes.
Yeah. In this capacity, Marianne and her team work with organizational leadership to design, implement, measure, and improve, keyword, multi-channel customer touchpoints. So welcome, Marianne, for being on the show today.
Thank
we really
you.
Appreciate having you here.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. Great. So what is Service Leader?
Well, the Service Leader is a management consultancy, as you mentioned earlier. And what we traditionally do is work with companies to understand the gap their customers are experiencing it relates to the company and what they're trying to project, and which once we determine what those gaps are, we try and help companies, or we do help companies, improve those gaps so that customers become much more happy with the experience that they have with the company, and then they become loyal customers who eventually buy more, apply more often and then advocate on behalf of the company for them.
It seems to me that unhappy customers are more costly than they've ever been before because of Yelp, Twitter, and Facebook, and so forth. There's so many places for people to voice their unhappiness. You really can't afford to make people mad, can you?
No, you really can't. And with the social media and mobile is another part of that, customers are becoming angrier faster, and are able to, you know, to complain about products or services faster, and those complaints can go global within seconds.
Oh, absolutely.
Scary thought for a business owner, isn't it?
Yes. And so you really do want to think about not only the transaction that you're having with a customer, but you want to really think about, from the customer's perspective, what it means to have that transaction and how that customer feels about the transaction. How are they, how is it helping them in their lives? Shape or form.
So who are some of your clients? I mean, without naming names, what are some of the types of clients that you have?
It really doesn't matter. It could be a small business, a medium-sized business. There are so many components that we can take a look at that help the company. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. It doesn't matter how big your company is. Your company could be a nonprofit. You by yourself consultant. It could be, you know, a multi-million dollar company. It really doesn't matter. This is the same principles working between you and your customers.
So what's the difference between customer service, which I think everybody knows you're supposed to have good customer service,
mm-hmm.
and customer experience?
Right. That's a good question, and I get it a lot.
I'll bet.
So essentially, when you think about it, you have a customer service department in larger companies. That's the 800 numbers. You call, the customer calls in. Want to order a product, they want to ask questions, they may or may not get to a customer service representative, may or may not be a great interaction between the customer and that person.
And can I just say, I hate it when they call it customer care department. I'm your customer care specialist.
Why don't you care? That's the whole point about customer experience. There's a gap between what the brand is promising and what's actually being delivered and what the customer is experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
You just did it in a nutshell.
That's good.
This service, it's the transaction. When a customer buys something, they expect it to be delivered properly and on time and at the price that was committed to. Customer experience is the overarching thinking. It's about developing those services and the products and how they're shipped and the communication that you have with a customer at all of the places that an organization touches a customer. So, for example, let's use your gym experience, Catherine. We'll do a live experience. Catherine, this really happened to Catherine.
So I went to this health club in my neighborhood because, I need to be working out, right?
We all do.
Yeah. Well, we all do. And it's close to, you know, I already knew I'm not the right demographic. I'm a little on the old side for the health club, but whatever. It's in the neighborhood. It's convenient. I went there. I walked in, and this, can I use the word bimbo here? This bimbo at the front desk looked at me and said, "What's up?" I mean, literally, that's what she said to me, "What's up?" I wanted to walk out,
yeah.
I mean, and I almost did. And then she put some paperwork down on a table, and some other mouth breather came over to sell me a gym membership. And he wasn't much better. You know, he toured me around, but it was, you know. It was not a good experience. And because I'm an idiot, I signed up anyway.
And so do you enjoy going to the gym now?
I don't. And what's more, I'm going to unsign up because what I'm finding is I don't go. But
and why don't you go? Not a pleasurable experience.
It
going
is not
there.
A pleasurable experience. I went for my free work with a trainer session in hopes of learning something that I could then come and do, like on the machines by myself. I felt like I needed a little tutorial. But what I got was a pitch for personal coaching.
Oh.
Right? So what I got was not a workout that I could do by myself, but a big pitch about why I have to come back so the guy can throw the ball at me and I can catch it over and over.
Didn't meet your needs at all, did it?
Well, it didn't. And I did not mention the name of the health club. But I did post about it on Facebook, my experience. This is how Marianne heard about it, right? Mm-hmm. She saw it on Facebook. And I think a lot of that goes on, and some people are much less restrained than I am, and they actually do name names and places and addresses and talk about their bad experience.
Absolutely, yeah.
So how should they have handled that?
Okay, so if I were working with the gym, I would say,
which you should be,
and we may go over there.
Let me introduce you to Marianne. You guys need her help.
So if I were working with the gym owner or the manager in some way, what I would be asking them is, what is it that you're trying to project? How do you think you're going to get customers in the door? How long do you want to keep them? What revenue goals are you looking at? And what are your customers saying about your business? And what's the reality of the situation? And they tell me some really great, you know, I'm in the business to really help people, and I want people to work out and be healthy. And I'd say, well, that's great, and how are you proving that to your customers? And they say, well, we give them tours, and we, you know, we have these discounts on pricing. And I say, well, that's great, except what does pricing discounts have to do with it being healthy? And they say, I don't know. I can get people in the door. I say, are you keeping them? And then we say, no, I don't think so. They leave really fast. We just hit Catherine. I think she's important. I'm like, yeah, she is. So what we would do is we would then talk to customers, and or we'd be customers, and we, you know, on the sly, and we'd experience, or we have them experience it, you know, interactively with their own company. And we would come back, and we would find out where the gaps are at every time a customer interacted with that brand. So, for example, Catherine may have interacted with that gym's brand in local advertisements. She may have seen the name in a local advertisement. She may have seen the name in the store front and the building front. Mm-hmm. She may have walked by there several times and seen the physical location to see if it's clean, if it's healthy, if it's reputable, if there are weird people hanging around the corner so she stays safe or not. And we would talk about every time that gym's brand touched Catherine in some way. Now, Catherine took all of those touch points and said, you know, it's local, it's important to me, I have to go, I'm going to go figure it out. She went over there, and she walks in the door, and she's not really enthusiastic about working out, and so she's got this trepidation, and, you know, oh my gosh, it would have been really great if there was somebody who was really enthusiastic there to guide you through it, hold your hand and say, we're here to help you. No matter what, we're here to help you. And that didn't happen. And so Catherine was even more turned off at that point, but she chugged forward. She was bound and determined to do something local. She signed a contract. She walked around. She signed a contract. She got more and more depressed.
I walked on, and I didn't sign a contract.
All right,
I mean,
okay.
And that is something because...
Or you agreed to sign up in some way.
I agreed to come for a month.
Okay.
And had it been a better experience, it would have been a better deal to sign a contract for a year, and I would have.
Right.
But
so they missed a sales opportunity.
They really did, because I went in and said, I better try this out and see and not commit myself.
Your warning bells are going off all over the place.
So I can see how they lose by not having a great customer experience.
Absolutely. So then they even had another chance to save you, right?
When I came back for my personal training freebie.
Right. And what did they try to do? They tried to sell her.
Right.
You know, the hard pitch sell.
Yeah.
There isn't a customer on the planet that likes that. And as a matter of fact, Best Buy is a typical example of what's happening because of that. Best Buy had all of their revenue was going down for lots of market reasons, not always about, you know, their products, but just because the market is changing.
Yeah.
And what happened is they started telling all of their people on the floor to pitch. Warranty services, extended. Additional products, and it got so bad that people don't even want to walk into their stores anymore. So that's a perfect example. And everybody knows what's happening at Best Buy. You know, so it's a publicly traded, and it's a company that's in jeopardy.
Yeah.
So from the back end, what I would do is I would work with the gym, and I would say, okay, here's what has to happen. And, you know, and they have to make a commitment to making changes. Now, in a lot of cases, the changes are free.
I mean, so they don't have to spend a lot of money to have a better customer experience.
Absolutely not. They can get a different person at the front desk who is organically aligned with the brand. They can.
How about somebody with like a brainwave?
Well, brainwave is good, and not chumpy gum. They could make sure that they have people who are enthusiastic about women's health in the gym. They could make sure that there isn't a lot of paperwork to sign out, and you can do it all online. There are lots of things that could happen to make it an effortless and easy relationship to happen so that it's not a barrier for her to come back.
So we know that companies often give customers a terrible experience.
Yep.
Why do you think so many companies fail at this?
It's called inside-out thinking, and because and not outside-in. Outside-in is customer experience. Inside-out is traditional business. Inside-out means you're always looking at your budget, and you're always trying to reduce your budget, and you're still trying to get customers some help, but you're not going to go beyond the call of duty in order to do that. These days, customers don't have the time for that. They don't want it, and it's just not even... It's not good.
You know, I suspected in my health club experience and others that I might be extra cranky because I am clearly not in their demo. And I'm wondering if, am I a crabby old fart? I mean,
so what?
Well, you know what? I'm
your customer.
Well, yes, but I guess my question is, does customer service matter more to older people, older customers?
No, I don't think
that's true? I'm just curious.
I think that... well, my experience is that every customer has needs, and there are certain groups of people who have similar needs. An older woman, and I'm not even going to call you older, but I'll just say boomer woman, because I am a boomer woman. All right, so a boomer female may feel very uncomfortable going into a gym. It's public. It's, you show your fat. You show your vulnerability. You are disgusted with yourself for having gotten fat. I mean, you know, all the self-talk that goes into not having a magnetic presence goes into the needs that a company has to address. And that's the important thing. A company has to understand what are the unstated needs that customers have and be able to meet those successfully.
As a business owner, how would I know if my customers were having a great experience?
Ask them.
Hey there.
All right, so how would I ask? I could do a survey, or I just ask them. I mean, how do I get a sense of whether my customer experience is good or bad?
Mm-hmm. Whether your business is, is delivering that experience?
Yeah.
There's lots of ways to do it. If you're a small business, you're much more intimate with your customer base because you're talking to them.
Okay.
So you can just ask, say, how's it going? Where can I improve? You know, how can I be better for you? Or what is it you need from me that could make me better for you? I mean, it's dialogue. Sometimes you'll hear some horrible stuff, and you just got to be open to hearing it.
And gulp.
Yeah, gulp, because your image is, you know, your ego, it's not about your ego. Your business is not about your ego. Your business is about your customers.
Right.
Or you can do a Survey Monkey. Those Survey Monkeys are free online. You can have some place on your website that will ask for feedback, and it can be anonymous or it can be with a name. There can be a secret phone number for people to call and get somebody personally who can take this information anonymously if a customer doesn't want to, you know, jeopardize themselves in some way, shape, or form. Big companies do lots of formal things, but medium and small companies have to sort of scale that down and keep their costs under control. And so there's lots of ways to be able to do that.
Do you have any favorite customer experience businesses or stories that you want to share? Any shining examples out there?
Oh, you know what? When I pop off these names, you're going to, you know, recognize them immediately. And when in doubt, try to emulate the big guys, right? Amazon, Zappos, UPS. These people are all known for having seamless transactions on the web, being able to have customers, you know, do their commodity transactions very quickly and easily. Those checkouts are really quick and sometimes too easy. I know. I order everything from Amazon, it seems like. And, you know, the reality is, in many cases, prices are higher on Amazon, and that's another thing. The more seamless the transaction, the more easy it is for a customer to work with you, the more money a customer will be willing to pay, and that's borne out statistically relevant. So, you know, if you're trying to compete on price, you're doing the wrong thing. You're becoming a commodity. You should be competing on experience and service, because then you can elevate your pricing, and you will still have lots of customers.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting about Zappos. You know, it's kind of Zappos is fun.
Yeah,
like
yes,
their catalog things or their emails are kind of cute and clever. So it's not just a transaction.
Right.
It's an experience.
Yeah,
it really is.
You're involved. You get to see the shoe. The shoe twirls around. You get to see the inside of the shoe. You get to see the bottom of the shoe. You get to see all the different colors of the shoe. You can see the variations of the shoe. And for those of us who love shoes, this is like being, it's like, you know, forgive me, but I'm going to say the shoe porn. It's like, oh, you can sit there for hours.
It is fabulous.
But even beyond that, where they really succeed, too, is if you get a shoe, I mean, it's so seamless returning it. They don't give you any kind of, you know, flack about it.
You print out the UPS label
and send it right back.
That's right.
Yeah, it's great.
They automatically credit you. It's just really fast and easy.
So the keys are seamless, effortless, making it easy for the customer to do business with you, not making the rules really hard to prevent them from returning things. You know, it's just the whole revenue thing. It drives me nuts.
So don't spray yourself with sales repellent, right?
That's right.
All right. So how, if somebody needs you, and obviously many companies need you, how do they find you?
I am everywhere because I offer seamless transactions. I'm on
and the blog.
Web, and I blog, yes. I'm on, my website is theserviceleader.com. My Facebook page is The Service Leader. On Twitter, it's my name. It's at Mary Markowitz. You can get a hold of me. You can even find me on Pinterest, called The Service Leader. I'm experimenting with that. And my email address is theserviceleader@hotmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful information. And, you know, I'm sure that you give your own clients a wonderful customer experience.
Yes, I do.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Well, Catherine, so that was great.
It was great.
Yeah.
And, boy, do I have a lot to learn about customer service.
Oh, yeah. I think we all do, and so many of us do. So we have a couple of more guests here today. We are broadcasting today from the palatial conference room of Hands-On Suburban Chicago.
Yay!
And so we have a couple of people from Hands-On Suburban Chicago that we'd like to introduce and just find out a little bit more about what they do.
Yay.
So we have Mary Fitzgibbons, who is the, I understand, the executive director of Hands-On Suburban Chicago.
Yay.
And we also have Patty Neuswanger, who is the marketing guru or something.
That's
long title.
Director of Community Engagement and Outreach.
Okay. It was pretty long.
Basically the same thing.
So what goes on at Hands-On?
Yeah.
So many things. Hands-On was formed with the idea of being a volunteer connector organization, and we were actually established in 1969 as a very grassroots kind of thought that the community members saw that nonprofits were in trouble and they needed a lot of help, especially with volunteering and volunteer management. They needed volunteers, and once they got volunteers, they didn't know exactly how to handle them, and so.
Well, and there's nothing more frustrating than to volunteer and then feel like your efforts are wasted, or people don't tell you what to do, or
management.
Yeah, that is really frustrating for people who want to give their time.
Yes, it is, and so we started in the very beginning. We worked with about maybe 20 different organizations. Our first year, we referred about 300 volunteers, or to now where we're referring between 7,000 and 8,000 volunteers every year to about 200, 300 different nonprofits, depending on how you count them, but and engaged in lots of training and programs. And, of course, we're thrilled that Patty's with us because she's helping us to get the word out. And thankful to you guys today for coming and helping us to do that.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, all right, so thanking everybody.
Yeah.
So tell us a heart-wrenching volunteer story.
Well, there are so many out there.
Pick one.
I'm going to pick one that pops into my mind right away, and it's about our senior members who are retired. And kind of, you know, when you first retire, a lot of people, they look forward so much to it, and they have that time to themselves for the first time. But then after a while, you're kind of like, okay, how many lunches can you do? You know, what am I doing? You know, this kind of thing. And long story short, got involved with our tutoring program, and he gave the most heart-wrenching story of how it totally changed his life and how happy he was. I mean, everybody was practically in tears in the room, just what he gained and also, of course, what the students gained. So we find that, especially from our senior population, just in really any age, I mean, when you volunteer, you get so much back, just giving of yourself and your talents. And maybe for a lot of people, it's the first time they're able to go somewhere and really maybe start something new they've never done before, or, you know, even learn a new skill that, you know, they never knew they were going to learn, you know. So it's a really an adventure, and there are so many things to do. People don't realize that there's such a gamut of opportunities out there that they're just amazed when they find out. But you can go to our website and find out lots of information and lots of volunteer opportunities. We have anywhere between 200 to 400 opportunities at any one time.
And the website is?
www.volunteerinfo.net.
And the phone number?
847-228-1320.
Now, what if somebody wanted to give money? Do you take money?
We do. All kinds of, not only money, we take donations from organizations of product, like this table that we're sitting on right now here was donated.
Perfect, okay.
But you can go, we have an icon on the website where people can donate using PayPal.
Wow.
And our address is listed on our website as well, so if you want to mail us a check, we're happy to do that. It's all tax deductible. And just one thing quickly about volunteering. One area of volunteering that's really increased recently is our skill-based volunteer program, which is engaging people that are in transition. So people who are without jobs right now that are looking to do something with their time that also makes them feel good about themselves while they're, you know, in that transition period, are able to do some different things or to utilize the skills that they have that they're not able to use in a job right now while they're looking. And it's a terrific, you know, win-win situation because we have organizations that need the help, and the individuals that are doing the work feel good about themselves when they're finally in those positions where they're interviewing, and the interviewee says, well, you know, interviewer says, what have you been doing? They can say, you know, they can share a project that they've done where they've actually done some sort of service for a nonprofit that has been impactful in the community. So
great.
It's totally a win-win situation.
Excellent. And so you not only work with individual volunteers, but you actually help other nonprofit organizations figure out what to do with the people that have volunteered there, right?
Right.
So you really are...
Your consultant.
You're consultants for...
We wear many hats. If you go to our we have this, I like to call it the Career Builder of Volunteer Opportunities. When you go to our website and you look for volunteer opportunities, those opportunities that are posted there are our community partners, which means area nonprofits that are looking for specific positions for their organizations. So that's what you're seeing. Just like when you go to Career Builder, you find jobs for every different type of company.
Right.
That's what we're doing, is we're trying to help support the nonprofits who really need volunteers to build capacity and meet mission.
Okay. Well, thank you so much again for allowing us to broadcast from here today, and thanks so much for telling us about Hands On Suburban Chicago. We really appreciate it. Mary and Patty.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. All right, so we just have a little bit more time on our show today. Do need to thank a few sponsors, Catherine.
Go for it.
Yeah, we got to do that. So first of all, we want to thank Bruce Bettard from the Bettard Mortgage Team. They will return your calls. That's what they say, and I've heard that that's actually true. Also want to thank TBK Consult, tbkconsult.com. They're a company that helps other companies take their products, mostly software products, global, and, you know, break down the barriers of going from one country to another. So it's pretty interesting stuff. Also want to thank Coffee Cake Connection. This company was started by a local woman named Chris Welch. She discovered that she had the world's best coffee cake recipe. And yes.
I want that recipe.
I know. And she and her staff actually bake, you know, quite a number of flavors, and they say that, you know, coffee cake is not just for dessert. Not just for breakfast. It also can be dessert. And so you can check them out at coffeecakeconnection.com. So one more sponsor is ZipBoss. ZipBoss.com is where powerful websites are born, and they actually provide a really cool way for especially small businesses to build a website and be able to really easily change the content on their site. You know, it's actually even easier than WordPress, if you can believe it.
Really?
Yeah, it's really cool. a nice way to build a website. So,
can I squeeze in a tease?
Yes, you can.
Next week, we're going to get cozy.
Yes,
I'm excited
we are.
About
yeah,
that.
We are. You're
We're
right.
talking to these cozy women. It's going to be great. So you want to be here for that.
Yeah, definitely want to find out more about the cozies. And I'm looking forward to trying one on. Maybe getting a discount. Who knows? So we are at about out of time. For more information about this radio show or any of the past radio shows, you can go to the Link Local website. That's linklocalnetwork.com. And you can also check out the YouTube station. In fact, the ladies today, Catherine and Marianne, shot a video prior to the show, so you can go watch that video and see how it's going. Thank you very much. Link Local Network, link locally, connect globally.
You can also see Chris Welch on the YouTube channel baking this next month's coffee cake.